This is Filmreel, a podcast where I chat with indie filmmakers about their filmmaking processes, their inspirations, and what their stories mean to them. And I'm your host, Dawn Borchardt. On this episode, I got to talk with director Tasha Van Zandt for her documentary, After Antarctica. I saw the film at the San Francisco International Film Festival, and it's actually playing an outdoor screening closing out the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Film Fest tonight as I speak. And it will be playing online and in person at the Mountain Film Festival in Telluride the Memorial Day weekend. The film is composed of both new and archival footage. The archival footage is of the transantarctic expedition that Will Steger led with a group of men from around the world. They crossed the entire Antarctic with just dog sleds, and they used the expedition to raise awareness on climate change, which they were very successful in doing. Tasha Van Zandt and her crew then caught up with Will over the last few years to learn more about his life and the more recent expeditions that he's been on. I found the film to be incredibly inspiring and beautifully shot, and I was surprised, honestly, when I found out that a woman directed it, because it had, not abrasively, but it had a bit of a macho man tone to it. You know, there's these men from across the world going into this incredibly harsh climate to cross an entire continent together on foot and via dog sled. So I was really excited to get to talk with Tasha and learn more about why this story was important to her.
Hi, my name is Tasha Van Zandt, and I'm the director of After Antarctica. And After Antarctica follows polar explorer Will Steger's life journey as an eyewitness to the greatest changes in the polar regions of our planet.
I'm so excited to get to talk to you, and I'm so impressed that you made this film, because I feel like it has, like, there's a lot of strong, like, masculinity in it. So I was really impressed when I found out it was made by a female filmmaker. So that was really cool. So how did you first get involved in this project? It seems like such a large undertaking.
Yeah, it definitely was. I mean, so I grew up in Minnesota, which is where Will is from. And growing up there, he was really this incredible hometown hero, local legend. And I remember reading about his expeditions in National Geographic magazine and tearing out pictures and putting them on my wall. And I was just so taken and inspired by the way that he used his expeditions as this platform for change. So over the years, I began working with the National Geographic expeditions team on my own. And eventually that led me to crossing paths with Will Steger. And after I was able to meet with him, we really just connected immediately over our shared love of the outdoors and nature and bringing attention to our environment. So I started working with him at his wilderness center and just doing really short form pieces and projects. But eventually over the years, that led me to just really realizing the impact of his own story on my own life, and that I really felt like my path had taken me to wanting to be able to share his story with others.
I didn't know you were from there. I was just saying that I was from Wisconsin. So we're both Midwesterners.
Oh, amazing. That's so cool. What part of Wisconsin?
I was born and raised in Milwaukee, but I mean, I've spent a lot of time up north as well. I'm also Menominee, so I've spent a lot of time in the Menominee Indian Reservation, and it's like a very similar geographic look to northern Minnesota. So it was very beautiful in the film. So this film is really like a great combination of archival footage and newer like portrait footage and a lot of landscape. Can you talk about the process for all of that? Like going through archival footage, like how did that go? And also like shooting on such intense landscapes and also very personal moments.
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, as I started to get to know Will, so much of the early stages was just built on these incredible conversations we would have around his wood stove, and he would tell these amazing stories of his journeys and expeditions. But the one story and expedition he kept coming back to was that of the Transantarctica expedition. And the more that I got to know Will, the more I started to realize just how resonant that story was today, and how in so many ways it started to feel like history was repeating itself, you know, in terms of our international relations and our need for international cooperation. And also, I think that I started to realize just what an impact that expedition had on his life. You know, he had completed so many numerous firsts in the field of polar exploration, from the North Pole to Greenland and the Arctic Ocean. But the Trans-Antarctica expedition was really the moment that forever changed the course of his life and set him on the path to where he is today. So I really wanted to look at that juxtaposition of what it is, what does it mean to be age 75 and looking back now on your life and where it has led you to this pivotal moment that really led him to this moment now. And so to tell that story, we knew that we would need to be able to illustrate it in a really active, adventure-driven way. You know, I think when I think of climate-based storytelling and environmental storytelling, I really hope that the more personal the film, the more personal the message, the more personally people can connect to what the loss of these places means. So with Will, what's remarkable is that he's been exploring for over 55 years in these incredible ways, but he's also been documenting every step of the way, whether it's through his audio journals or 16 millimeter footage, Super 8 footage, photographs. He's really been this documentarian of our natural world. So after really realizing how much we wanted to highlight and focus and anchor the film around the Trans-Antarctica expedition, we soon found out about all of this incredible documentation he had done of the journey. You know, the mission of the Trans-Antarctica expedition at the time was to really bring world attention to our need to preserve and protect the continent. And so in order to do that, they drew together this amazing international team of documentary filmmakers to help them document each step of the way so that they could share that with through broadcasts and media and news around the world to really draw attention to this place.
I feel like most people who are from like Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, a lot of them are really outdoorsy people. What was like your upbringing like in your relationship with the outdoors and like how did that end up affecting your path in life?
I definitely think growing up in Minnesota had a huge impact on my relationship with nature. I think, you know, at a really young age, I was constantly exploring in my own backyard, and we had so much great access to wilderness and the outdoors and the lakes in the summer to walking on frozen lakes in the winter. And my family has very adventurous spirits. So we grew up camping all the time and going up to Ely in northern Minnesota and Lake Superior. And I always was just so humbled by the vastness of nature. And it really became this place for like my own solace and peace and finding myself in the wilderness. So I think when I first met Will and got to know him, that was something that really resonated with me and that we connected and bonded over that shared love of our great outdoors.
You just made me think about a conversation I was having with my boyfriend recently about walking on frozen lakes, because he's from Colorado and they obviously still have water, but they don't have lakes the way that we do. And he was like, how do you know when you can walk on it? And I was just like, I don't, it's like a tap and it's a certain sound. I don't know. It's like sounds thick. He was just like,
it's just a feeling. It's just
yeah.
It's so true. I mean, there is just something so almost magical, like that knowing of being in nature that is really special about growing up in places like the Midwest. And, and like seeing the seasons change, I think also just inherently helps you develop incredible resilience, you know, and like acceptance for the impermanence of nature and change. You really go through all of those seasons every year. And I think that, you know, is something we really looked to with the story as well, of seeing Will set out in the winter, come back to his home when it's all back alive, filled with that inspiration in the summer, to then being back on the ice once again. We wanted to kind of look at that life cycle of nature in the film.
I feel that for sure. you definitely have to build up resilience in the Midwest. I felt like this past year, there has been some films come out that me and I'm assuming everyone else is looking at from a little bit of a different perspective given COVID. And watching this film, what really stood out to me was this like relatable feeling of intense isolation. Was that like, what was that like? I'm assuming you probably edited the film within the last year. Like, were you feeling those parallels and like thinking about how maybe people could relate to that aspect that we wouldn't have thought about before?
Absolutely. You know, I think for Will, I mean, in so many ways, he's the original social distancer going out on these solo journeys. all totally. By myself in the middle of the ice. I mean, 500 miles from the nearest town or person. And so, you know, we had kind of been editing and cutting along as we went. And we first started working with our co-editor, Dana Lamont, who's really incredible. And that was prior to this last year. But then this last year, we also were working with our editor, Don Bernier, who's just had such an incredible perspective to bring to the project. And I think we were all working with each other remotely. So kind of in our own little space stations and capsules, working on telling this story that we really wanted to be able to draw community around and bring people together. And notice that thread for Will and his life of this balance between community and solitude was something that really felt like it spoke to the present moment really in a powerful way.
Yeah, for sure. One of the things I was wondering, like thinking about watching this was like, all these people are going to Antarctica and seeing this like insane, just magnificent landscape and how like powerful it is to see something that is so kind of otherworldly and different from what you're used to seeing. And it made me think about when I was a kid, my family took a road trip from Wisconsin to British Columbia and I got to see mountains for the first time, like when we were driving through Montana. And I was completely like blown away and was like, what are these things? They're so insane. Like they're huge, they're beautiful. And I was just obsessed. And I live in Salt Lake City now. And a huge part of the reason I'm out here is because there's mountains. It was just like, once I saw them, I was like hooked and was like, I want those in my life. So was there ever a moment in your like childhood or maybe even just like culture shock moment of some kind where your eyes were just like open to being like, wow, like there's this other world out there outside of Minnesota?
That's such a great question, because I think of several pivotal moments like that, but I definitely remember being really young and going to Lake Superior and looking out onto the lake, and you can't see the end of it. It just looks infinite. And that was my first time seeing a body of water in that way. And I think that really opened my eyes to just how humbling nature is and how small we are in these landscapes. So I really remember that and just being so taken by this idea of, even though it's not, it seems like seemingly infinite, you know, landscape. And just also like really realizing how much that body of water connects us all in so many different places and in so many different ways. I think that was like really a moment that anchored me into that theme of how much nature connects and binds us all together.
Yeah, those moments can be so like invigorating and inspiring, but also humbling, be like with a large body of water or a large mountain, you're like, oh, I'm just this little thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there were some really nice moments in the film where Will and some of the other guys on the expedition with him, they have like bring trinkets of like personal items. And when they reach that one base camp, they're given food and gifts from their home countries. And I thought that was just so nice and thought about how we all kind of need like little things to keep us going, to inspire us and feel connected. And I'm like a super sentimental person and have things like all over my home from my grandparents and family photos and things like that. I was wondering if you have little things that you would take with you on shoots, or like, what do you have with you all the time or around you?
Oh, that's so great. It's so true. I mean, those little, I'm also a very sentimental person and love having those little anchors of memories that you can just dive into. I think that's kind of like why I first really fell in love with photography and filmmaking, was just wanting to document and capture those moments of the world around me so I could carry them with me. And so, you know, if I was to bring things with me, I think photographs are so important to me. I have so many images of my family, and photographs are really like my greatest treasure that I have, but also books. I think, you know, I have really special books that have been gifted to me that I carry with me over the years. And I think just any kind of little thing that can kind of open up your mind, almost like a portal into a memory or a new world, are really special.
Yeah, I have like photos of my family all here right now. And I even keep stuff in my car because I take a lot of road trips. So I have like a branch that was like used in a ceremony for one of my grandpa's funerals, and like a bundle of sage that my mom like grew and made for me, and like rocks from some of my hikes. So I love having that stuff. And I do feel like it just keeps you connected, like no matter where you are, that you're like, I still have this like piece of home or like something that means something with me. It does keep you going.
So true. Very, very true. Yeah. I remember when we went back to Antarctica with Will, we were in this beautiful space called Nico Harbor, and you see just all of this melting ice, and it's visually seeing these changes is so devastating, but also just so like humbling and powerful to see this vastness and power of the nature that we're around. And I remember I had this little capsule with me and taking some of like the melted ice water with me and carrying it back with me on our Zodiac to go back to the ship. And I carry that with me a lot. And I think just looking at that is just such this powerful reminder of that power of nature and how humbling it can be.
Yeah. There was a quote I wrote down from Will where he said, "The expeditions for me have always been about inspiration. I've been chasing inspiration all my life." I thought that was really beautiful. And you talked in the beginning of this interview a little bit about what interests you in storytelling. But I'm wondering, because this film is very like, you touch on climate change a lot. So what is really like driving factors in you being a storyteller, and what really inspires you?
Yeah, I think for me, I'm so inspired by people that I feel have really lived their lives in incredibly resilient ways in the faces of change. I think, you know, when I look at Will, one thing that I've really carried with me through all of our conversations is that in life, although we can't always control change or hardships, we can really change our response. And that's something Will has done so powerfully and beautifully in his own life. And I think, you know, I really want to tell stories of our natural world and of our environment that can inspire hope and show that even in the faces of these changes, we can persevere and have such incredible resilience. And that as one person, we can really create so much change. You know, obviously, we can't all go to Antarctica and bring this international team, but we can find ways in our own lives to change our response in the face of these changes. And so I'm really drawn to sharing stories of people who have inspired me personally also to want to find more ways to take action to change my response.
That made me think of another thing that I liked that he said, because he, towards the end of the film, is having to go to the doctor regularly and get tested. And he says, "I think it's a really good thing that we should all assess our life." And I just was like, yeah. And I feel like that's another thing that's like, I mean, obviously we are all needing to do that no matter what and who we are and when, but really this last year, as we're all suffering from loss of friends and family or being isolated and losing other things besides people, losing our jobs, losing our homes, whatever it is. And so I just felt like that was very timely.
I completely agree. I remember when he said that, and it just really hit me with this just powerful weight of the gravity of what he was saying about assessing our lives. And also like in terms of impermanence, like this last year, like you were saying, we're all seeing it firsthand. We're seeing so much loss and grief. But also I think when we see that, when we really sit with that, we can also find ways to cherish the moments that we have with our communities, with our loved ones, with nature. We can really find more ways to be present in that. And, you know, I also think of Will, there's a scene where he's crossing that crack in the ice, and he talks about on that edge of life and death, you really learn to see life so clearly. And I think that's so true and is something that's so timely and that a lot of us are starting to really sit with now.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I have personally like reassessed my life more than ever this past year. Like I lost my job, but the silver lining was that it allowed me to dive into more creative projects and this podcast and do other things and be like, you know, I was really overworking all the time. Like, is that what I want to be doing for the rest of my life? I feel like this year has allowed us, even though it's been really hard, to like make difficult choices and look at the past and be like, was that good for me? And, you know, we're seeing that a lot too with people not going back to work for like low wages because they're just like, I don't want to do that. So I feel like this film just ended up being powerful to me on levels that wouldn't have happened in the past. And like, or not that it's not powerful, but like on different levels that are so incredibly relatable now for everyone.
Oh, that's great to hear. Because I think that's something we were really striving with this film, is we wanted to bring that personal connection to the climate conversation. I mean, you know, I think what's really special about Will is that he has such a gift for speaking with people versus speaking at people. And we really wanted to invite people into his eyewitness story, into the journeys that he's had and into the changes that he's seen. So that when we think of something like the loss of ice shelves that can seem so foreign and remote and hard to grasp, now we can really understand these firsthand connections to these places and these losses.
Well, I don't want to discredit all of the important conversations about climate change that are in the film. So what kind of conversations has this film been able to open up for you and to people who have been watching it? And what effect do you hope that it has on people?
I think, you know, for Will, even though he's had this incredible draw to solitude and finding solace in the wilderness, he also has spent his life so dedicated to community and creating spaces for that community. And so in so many ways, the film is really a commentary also on our need for international cooperation. And in 1989 to 1990, Will saw this opportunity to bring together this international team of six people from six countries on the longest crossing of the continent in history, to really draw attention and awareness to our need to renew the Antarctic Treaty. And they were able to meet with world leaders around the globe and have this renewed. But now in so many ways, with our international conversations around climate, we're seeing in so many ways, it feels like history repeating itself. I think especially this last year prior to the election. And so now as we're starting to take these steps back into the Paris Agreement and into what comes next, it's really looking at how we as individuals can really take action to draw together people around a common goal.
I love that. I just wanted to end with, if you could give some information on how people can follow the film, if you have screenings coming up at different festivals, and I can put some links in the show notes for it as well.
Yeah, so to get involved with the film, you can follow us at afterantarctica.com and also on social at afterantarctica. And currently we are just beginning our festival journey. And so we just recently premiered, and for next stops, we're going to be the closing presentation at the Minneapolis International Film Festival and heading to Mountain Film next. So there'll be different opportunities to watch it virtually as well as in person, and then hopefully on a wider scale very soon.
Awesome. Those are two really great festivals too. I love Mountain Film so much. So that's awesome.
Me too. So exciting.
Well, thank you so much, Tasha. This has been so nice to get to connect with you and connect with a fellow Midwesterner and nature lover.
Likewise. Yeah, thank you so much. This has been wonderful. And I love your work. So it's really great to connect.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for jumping back in and listening to this episode of Faux Real. This episode was edited by Kim Lowe, and the music is Lost and Bound by Talleen Kelly. And I'm your host, Dawn Borchardt. You can find me and Talleen on Instagram. I'm at FauxReal222, and she is at Talleen Kali. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I would love it if you would subscribe, and if you're on Apple Podcasts, leave us a review. That would be so incredibly helpful. Next week, I'll have on director Wes Hurley for his autobiographical film, Potato Dreams of America, which premiered at South by Southwest. The film is a dark comedy about Potato growing up in the Soviet Union and grappling with his sexuality, and his mother becoming a mail order bride and their subsequent adventurous escape to America. The film is wildly creative and heartfelt and hilarious, so I hope you guys get the chance to see it, and I'm excited to share that episode with y'all next week.